How many of you guys have you ever been like, just stared down by somebody? Anybody ever like given the stank eye or like somebody just like glared at you, straight up side-eyed you? That happened to me a few months ago. So there's a restaurant by my house called Cafe Amore, little Italian spot. It's great. And my wife and I had ordered takeout there, and I went to go pick it up. And I'm waiting in line. There's someone ahead of me, this older lady. So I go and I get in line behind her, and she looks at me like does the whole like, ugh, like the disgust on her face was, ugh. And she like looked me up and down, just like disgusted. And I was like, in that moment, I'm like, okay, I've showered today. I think I'm pretty presentable. Like, what's going on? What's wrong? Do I smell? I have no sense of smell, so I'm always, do I smell bad? I don't even know if I smell bad. I've never had a sense of smell. That's not, you know, just a recent development. So just so you know, don't need to be worried there. But I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on? And I have a mask, and I realized all this lady wanted was some space. Because she thought I was too close to her. Now, I wasn't like up in her grill, but I was like, I was somewhat fairly close. Even though I was wearing a mask and she was wearing a mask, she was just like glaring at me. And so I realized, and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. And I took a big step back, and she smiled at me. And she was just like, oh, thank you. And like, no, like we were old friends. And that is when it first hit me, that it really is really different all around us. Like everything is different. And you guys have been there. You've been there for basically the last 6 months that have felt like one really long summer probably. That's also been like the most boring summer of your lives. You know, because like the most of it, you've had to stay inside. Everything looks different. Like you've been in virtual school. You've been in virtual small groups. Camp has been canceled, or you've gone to camp and you have to wear masks the whole time. And, you know, nothing's better than wearing a mask in 100-degree Texas heat, as we all know. And all of it you've lived in, and it's all designed to give you space and distance for your health. Now, I'm not saying that that's like the wrong idea. I'm not saying that distance isn't helpful. I mean, you can look and see the way the chairs are set up now to understand, like, hey, you know, distance can be helpful from a health perspective. But here's the thing. Distance can also create isolation. Distance can create not just physical distance, but emotional, relational, spiritual distance from each other. And in a time where it's never been easier to isolate, we need to be known and accepted, and we need to know and accept others. At Wake, we want every student to be known and accepted, taught about Jesus, and challenged to grow. And the first thing that comes with that is known and accepted. And what does it mean to be known and accepted? And here's a simple way of putting it. It means people know who you really are, and they don't turn away from you because of it. And that is a great spot to be in, right? Like everybody can recognize, man, that's a great spot to be in. And if that's going to be true about your life, if that's going to be true about this place, that everybody that comes here, that everybody that comes to small group, that everybody that comes to something with Wake, whether that's events or whatever, man, if that's going to be true, you're going to have to own it. Like you guys are going to have to be owners of that. You are going to have to be known and accepted yourselves, and you are going to have to know and accept others. But the tricky part is, in most cases, it's easier to not be known. And especially in 2020, in this world of distance around us, it creates potential barriers to being known. And if you're not careful, they will prevent you from being fully known. And so this morning, real quickly, we're going to talk about three barriers to being known and how to avoid them. So the first barrier is isolation. And when I say isolation, I mean always being by yourself, keeping to yourself, just you, living your life by yourself. And you remember how easy it was before COVID? Like it really was pretty easy. Now it is incredibly easier. So here's what I mean. If you don't see one of your friends, so like fast, rewind to about a year ago, right? August 2019, school started back up. Let's say you don't see one of your friends for 3 or 4 days. You're like, you're calling the police because you're like, where is Timmy? I haven't seen Timmy in days. Where is he? Like, should we call? Let's go to his house. Let's call his parents. What, has anybody seen Timmy? And now, if you don't see Timmy for a few days, you go, oh, I bet he's quarantined. Right? I bet we'll see him in 14 days. That's crazy. Like, you're just, we're trained to go, oh, I bet that's what's happened. I bet he's just quarantined in his room. That's crazy. But it's true. That's the reality we live in. And if we're not careful, then that isolation will be a barrier to being known. Now, here's the thing about isolation. Isolation promises safety. And when I say safety, I'm not just talking about safety from COVID. I'm talking about safety like, hey, I'm in total control. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. I don't have to worry about anybody else in my grill. Nobody's affecting me in my day-to-day, my choices. It promises safety. But it's a lie. And isolation can't deliver on that promise. In fact, isolation leads to danger. It is dangerous to be always alone. The promise is that isolation leads to safety, and the reality is that it leads to danger. To be isolated is to be dangerous. Proverbs 18:1 says this, "One who has isolated himself seeks his own desires. He rejects all sound judgment." Other translations would say it this way, this kind of person lashes out against common sense. And it paints a picture that does make a lot of sense to us, right? People who isolate themselves from others only chase what they want. They don't have a safety net of people around them to go, whoa, 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 that might not be the best. And you might ask, wait, why would that be dangerous? Like, why would that be dangerous for you as a 6th, 7th, or 8th grader to always be isolated? So here's an example. When you're isolated, you're not around a lot of other people. You're probably not around anybody else, which means you just look at what you want to look at, which really means you're just left to see whatever people want to show you online, whether it's on Instagram or YouTube or whatever. Name your thing. TikTok, doesn't matter. But here's the thing about online stuff. Like, online is like the best of the best, and because they're choosing what they're going to show you. Everybody's always camera ready. Everybody's always put together. Everybody's always exciting. Nobody posts the scrubby pictures of themselves where they look terrible online. Nobody posts the lame videos when they're just sitting eating a bowl of Fruit Loops, right? They post exciting videos. They post great pictures that are all kinds of filtered, where they've spent hours on how they look, and the videos where they've spent hours setting it up. And if that's all you're seeing, and there's not a lot of other people around you to give you a real life picture of what reality is really like, man, there's no one there to help you see, hey, this is real life. All of a sudden, man, what if you start going, man, I wish my life was like that. How does my life compare to what I'm seeing online? You start going down this road of comparison. Wanting what other people have is where that leads you. And then a little more, maybe some body image insecurities come up because you go, man, what that person looks like. Maybe greed takes on a new level for you where you go, I can't believe this person gets all that. They make how much for posting videos? Maybe addiction to being in your comfort zone and being in charge and only doing what you want to do. Maybe you just become unsatisfied with your life. All that would happen just because you're isolated. That is just one example. There are a million other examples where isolation could take you places that are dangerous. Isolation is a dangerous place to be. Instead, choose togetherness. Choose togetherness instead of being isolated. Even if you're extremely social distance, even if you are quarantined in a bubble, because of the technology available to you in 2020, there are ways to not be isolated. There are ways to be together even when you're at a physical distance. Hopefully, man, as more time goes on, we won't have to be distanced as much. But even if you are, choose togetherness instead of isolation. Don't be isolated. Another barrier is faking it. So like, I started leading a small group when they were in sixth grade. Now they're juniors at JJ Pierce. And this past spring, we were doing virtual small group. And there's one guy, we'll call him Cobb, mainly because that's his name. And we were like, you know, Cobb was listening really intent. We could see it right there. He's listening really intently. Like, man, Cobb is so focused on this small group. And he's just like I was surprised for like 20 minutes straight. He's so focused. But then we ask him a question and we hear nothing. We hear crickets. So we're like, oh, maybe his computer's freaking out, whatever. Well, it turns out Cobb had taken a picture of himself where it looks like he's on Zoom, and he had put it at a Zoom background, and he had gone to like go make a sandwich. You know, I think maybe he took a shower too. We didn't see him for a long time, but he looked like he was in that small group. Now, he kind of did that jokingly because like that portion of small group, we were just talking about fun stuff. But like, that's crazy. He had us fooled for a solid 20 minutes. We just thought he was just really locked in. Like, man, we are extra funny today. And, it wasn't. He just was, you know, making a sandwich, and that's fine. And that story's funny, but it also is a great picture of what we do in our lives, right? Only letting in people in the parts that look good, the parts that we want to see. Like, if someone was sharing something big in that group, think about that. Cobb would have missed that. If someone would have gotten on and said, hey, before we keep going, I really have to share this. He honestly would have missed that. He didn't, but he would have. But it's always easy to do that. But in 2020, it's so much easier. Like in 2020, all you have to worry about that little square. Like most of your schools are still online only. All you got to worry about is the little square that people see of you. You could be wearing pajama pants. People don't know. You just have to care about the little square around you. But if we do that in our real lives, we are in real trouble. And why would we do that? Well, easy. To be loved. To be accepted. As one pastor said it this way, to be loved but not known. So to be loved but not known is comforting, but it's fake and it's temporary. It won't last. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is a lot like being loved by God. It is what we need more than anything. And faking it promises approval. If you fake it, you'll get approval. And who doesn't want that? And you know what? If I have to beat somebody else to get approval, who cares? I'm fine with it. And that's the promise of faking it. But the reality is, faking it leads to rejection. Because if people don't know who you really are, they can never fully accept you. They can never fully love you. So by definition, they are rejecting who you really are. You're rejecting who you really are. Plus, it's exhausting. It is exhausting to fake it. But here's the solution to that. From 1 John, it says, if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. God promises that if you walk in the light, if you live in a way where you let people in, you will have a companionship, a friendship with others that's much different than a bunch of squares on a Zoom call. Now, think about it a second. Why would that be true? Why would that be true? Why is the promise that, hey, the friendships and relationships of that depth only come when Christians come together? Why would that be true? Because being a Christian acknowledges you're messed up. Being a Christian acknowledges that you couldn't do it on your own. Ephesians 2 says this, all of us used to live that way, this way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Being a Christian, by definition, means you couldn't do it. And so God had to do it for you, right? We have this thing called sin where we've turned away from God and it separates us from God. And God said, hey, I can't, because of who I am, holy, I can't have a relationship with you. But because I love you so much, I will send Jesus to live a perfect life. And he will die. And when he dies, it will be the punishment for your sins, not his, because he was perfect. And they'll raise from the dead as proof that, hey, he beat all that. And you can have life, eternal life with me from a right relationship. Being a Christian acknowledges that you couldn't do it on your own, that you have sin, that there are gross parts of you. That's what being a Christian is. And so let people in. Don't fake it and pretend like you didn't have sin. Let them know when you're hurt. Let them know when you're afraid of what might happen to you if you get COVID. Let them know about the anxiety you feel about whether or not people will like you. And those examples might not cover you, but you have things you don't want to share. And we talk a lot about sin in here in general. But if you want freedom, you need to confess and deal with your sin, your individual personal sin, not just talk about sin in general and all of it, not just 99%. But share that last 1%. You won't be free with 99%. You're only free with 100%. The last barrier to being known is distraction. You know, prior to COVID, there were no phones in the classroom. Now you can have 8 things going on at one time, right? Because you could be on virtual school. You could have Netflix going on here. You could have YouTube going here. You could play Warzone on this TV. And like, you just get away with it. And that's not me telling you should do that by any means. But it's just the reality that you guys maybe have already figured out anyway. And it's not wrong to be on your phones. It's not wrong to watch Netflix or YouTube or play video games. But the reason you're doing it might be a problem. Or it might be unhealthy. If you're doing it to avoid thinking about the way someone hurt or frustrated you, the reason you're doing it is a problem. If you're on your phone all the time because you're just trying to protect yourself from the anxiety that you feel about what might happen in the future, that's unhealthy. If you're just playing video games and watching YouTube videos just to put off something you really need to do now, that's a problem. Either way, we are training ourselves to be constantly distracted. Let me ask you a question. Raise your hand if you rode in the elevator this morning. Keep your hand up if in that 15-second ride in the elevator, you checked your phone. Oh, wow. Okay, good job. I'm impressed. All right, let me ask you this question. In the lobby, while you're hanging out there, raise your hand if you're like, I didn't know what else to do, so I just pulled out my phone. Anybody want to admit to that? Wow, you guys are great. I did that in the lobby when I was out there. I was like, well, I don't really have anybody to talk to right now. Let me pull out my phone. I didn't do it. I didn't think about it, but I did it. All right. I'm not going to make you raise your hands, but some of you have been on your phones during this message as a way you're just distracted. We are training ourselves to be distracted. And I want you to really like think about how distracted you are. But here's the thing. Distraction promises happiness. Hey, do this. Look at this. Play this. But the reality is distraction leads to numbness. See, humans have what even an author in the 1950s, when they only had like 3 channels, he saw what was going on, not even a Christian, and he said, hey, humans have an infinite appetite for distractions that can't be satisfied, and it's robbing us of life. We are trading hunger, a hunger for truth, for lots of little distractions that don't matter. We are substituting real relationships for addictions to glowing rectangles. Right? Because that's the shape all the phones are now. Or maybe it's a big TV, right? Or your iPad or whatever, your computer. We are trading real relationships for glowing rectangles. Ephesians 5 says, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Look at that last sentence. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Most of the time, I think when we pull out our phones, we do it without thinking. I know I do. Like you're like, wait, I don't even know why I pulled out my phone, but here I am on my phone. Instead, let's make the most of every opportunity. And that takes work, even for adults. For me, it takes work. When I get in line at Chipotle and the line's really long because they only have one person doing the tortillas and everybody else is in the back cooking the meat, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a long time. Pull out my phone. It's the first thing I do. But life is being found in the same room off our phones. Let me paint a picture. I know it feels weird to be all in the lobby wearing masks and talking, but it would be more weird for us to be all in the lobby without masks all on our phones. That would be weird. Let's not do that. Let's let Wake be a place where we put away our phones and we hang out with each other. We are known and accepted, and we know and accept others. And so think back on that lady that gave me the stink eye at Cafe Amore. What she wanted in that moment was physical distance because she thought that might make her safer. And she was probably right from a physical health COVID standpoint. But let's not make the same mistake of thinking that distance makes us safer in every way, because distance comes with potential barriers, right? That isolation leads to safety, and faking it leads to approval, and distraction leads to happiness. We'll put all those promises right back up there on the screen. But in reality, those are lies, because isolation leads to danger. Faking it leads to rejection, and distraction leads to numbness. But Jesus offers something better. He said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." And I want to close by talking about that word yoke. It has nothing to do with eggs. Don't worry, I didn't learn that for a long time. Okay, so you're fine if you thought it was eggs. Here's what yoke is. It has to do with the life that comes from following somebody. So here's an example. Let's say I'm on Instagram and somebody says, "Oh, you should follow this personal trainer person on Instagram." We'll call him Tony, right? Because that's a great trainer name, right? Personal trainer Tony. Maybe that's how anybody with the name Tony decides to become a personal trainer. I don't know. But let's say I start following Tony on Instagram. And I start incorporating more of what he's saying into my life. Maybe I do the workouts that he posts a couple times a week. Maybe I start eating more of the food he suggests instead of just, you know, whatever I was eating before. And as time goes on, I do more and more of what Tony says. That's the yoke. The life that comes of following Tony's way. That's what yoke means. Now, even as I say that example, there are some of you out there that go, "Okay, Tony's making you follow more guidelines and rules. I'm out on guidelines and rules. If Jesus is going to make me follow more guidelines and rules, I don't know that I want that." And that's a fair point. But here's what else I would say. If I start following Tony's personal training guidelines, what happens? I start to feel better. I start to look different. I'm able to move in different ways, in new ways than I was before, because I was less healthy than I was before I followed him. And now I'm free to do all these things that I couldn't do before because I wasn't healthy. And Jesus offers a yoke, a way that comes with following him, a way that comes with putting your faith in him, that he says is easy to bear and a light burden. And I'll be really honest with you. Being known takes work, and it takes faith. It takes a lot to put yourself out there and say, "Hey, I've never told anybody this, but you should know this about me." That takes real work and a lot of faith, because there's always a risk that someone will not accept you. But Jesus knew and accepted all of us first, when we were at our lowest. And that's where freedom is found. And he says in his word, we need to chase being known and accepted. We need to chase knowing and accepting others, because that's where life is found. And so let's trust him to find life by being fully known and being fully accepted by one another. God, thank you for your word. God, thank you that you did know and accept us first, and you promise us life. God, you promise that life and deep relationships are found in being known and accepted. And I pray that if there are any students here today that are thinking of things that they've never told anybody, Lord, I pray that you would give them the courage and the faith to let somebody in. A small group leader, another person in their small group. If they're not in a small group yet, Lord, a parent or someone or one of us on staff, I pray that you'd give them the courage to do it today, that they would not waste any time in doing it, because that's where life is found. God, thank you that life is found in following you and in putting our faith in you. You're our only hope. God, and we ask all this knowing that it's by your grace alone, for your glory and for our good. Amen.